sick and tired of hearing things from uptight, short-sighted, narrow-minded hypocrites. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic, psychotic, pig-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl.
Today you're going to hear the second and final part of the interview with former State Department diplomat and author Michael Springman to discuss his recently released book, Visas for Al-Qaeda, CIA Handouts That Rocked the World, An Insider's View. The interview was previously aired earlier this year, and will be followed by some articles and videos on who's really funding and supporting ISIS. So let's begin with the interview. Michael Springman was assigned to the U.S. Visa Office in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, in the 1980s, which was heavy with CIA influence, and where he was repeatedly asked to issue visas to very questionable characters. When he questioned the practice and refused some of these visas, he was reassigned and eventually fired. After 9/11, he reported this situation to the FBI, some members of Congress, and several other government offices, but nobody wanted to listen. And now here's the conclusion of our recent interview. Now, in Egypt with the color revolution, was the CIA, NSA, other governments behind that destabilization? And
I think so. I remember there were a bunch of non-governmental organizations that were sent packing and members were arrested for interfering in the internal affairs of Egypt. And I sort of had the impression from reading this in the paper that these people were working to change the government of Egypt into something that the Americans might want to work with or could work with better. Mubarak was out because enough people hated him for enough years that they wanted to get rid of him. But unfortunately, after they threw Mubarak out, you still had a lot of the same people that Mubarak had put into high positions still in office. And I had one Egyptian guy tell me that, let's wait and see. Don't congratulate me on the change in Egypt until we see what's happening, because a lot of the old boys are still in place. And while they did get more democratic government for a time, the Muslim Brotherhood was continually being attacked by outsiders saying, you know, these people are bad, they're horrible. They wanted to bring back a repressive state, when the guy in charge of the government at the time was kind of inept and had made a number of bad decisions. But what they've got now, the military dictatorship under Sisi, is far worse than what they would have had with their first experiment in the real democracy in Egypt in decades.
So what I'm gathering from everything is that we have this secret government, so to speak, run by the CIA, the NSA. Mm-hmm. They're training, arming, and financing with the help of other intelligence agencies from around the world, these militants, and they use them to destabilize countries around the world. They've gone from being blamed for 9/11 to Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Egypt, Libya. And we have a media that under Operation Mockingbird is not challenging that and is actually putting out the propaganda that supports this, the lies that we're being told about this. What hope do we have? Where do we go from here?
Well, I tell you, we don't have much hope. I'm really pessimistic on the future. I mean, I talked to one Arab American attorney in researching the book, and he said, well, you know, when the intelligence services have such control over domestic and foreign policy, the outlook for democracy is really, really dim. And he said that if you could impeach some of these people and put them in jail, you might have a chance. But as we see, as much as everybody hated the Bush family, Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats wouldn't bring impeachment proceedings against them. We have a president now, Barry Obama, who has more wars going than the Bush crime syndicate ever did. I think it's 7-4. And he got the Nobel Peace Prize. And nobody can say a word against him. The press loves him. Of course, there's only about 5 organizations that control radio and TV across the country. That's easy to manipulate.
So I guess what you're saying is until we undo the CIA and the NSA and the secret government that we have, we don't have much hope.
Exactly.
You mentioned in the book that people like Phyllis Venice, a leader in the anti-war movement, won't look at this information that you're providing. And why do you think that is?
I don't know. I had one guy tell me that Phyllis Venice doesn't know the meaning of the word imperialism. But when I heard her talk, she always made eminent sense until I ran into her by chance at the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee convention a couple of years ago. And I asked her about the Arab-Afghan Legion, and she said, oh, well, these people never existed, and if they did, they don't exist anymore.
And just for our listeners, the Arab-Afghan Legion was the name for the Al-Qaeda before it became Al-Qaeda?
That's what I'm calling this whole group from the Mujahideen to IS. It's the Arab-Afghan Legion. They were people that were recruited for the war in Afghanistan, and because they weren't Afghans, but were fighting in Afghanistan, they were called Arab-Afghans.
And so she said she doesn't believe they exist?
Yeah. And if they ever existed, they don't exist anymore. I wasn't cryptic. I said the Arab Afghans, the guys who were the Mujahideen, who then morphed into Al-Qaeda and so forth. And the same thing with Hawaid Assad. She had been legal director of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee when I was an intern there. And she told me she'd been a nurse in South Asia ministering to these people. And she wouldn't talk to me. She wouldn't answer letters. She wouldn't answer phone calls or emails or whatever. And I ran into her at the convention where she got an award. And I said, Hawaida, you know, what's the story on the Arab Afghans? Oh, they were nasty people, but that ended with the war in Afghanistan against the Soviets. And she didn't want to talk about it anymore.
What do you make of all that, that these very intelligent people otherwise are refusing to see this?
Well, I mean, if you speak out too sharply and to the point against the government or sacred cows, you're cast out as a troublemaker, a crank, a person who shouldn't be taken seriously. And they want to keep their speaker fees coming in. They want to be regarded as a knowledgeable person in the area and talking to all kinds of government and private groups as experts on anti-terrorism or the Middle East or any other organization or that you worked cause that you might think of. And they want to protect themselves first, foremost, and always.
It's kind of sad because there are a lot of people who look to them to know what's going on, and
exactly. It's
frustrating. Now, so based on your research then and the book you've written, is it fair to say that the global war on terror is a total hoax?
Yeah, I would think so. It's jobs for the boys. We have all the people in the government, from the CIA's not very clandestine service to the NSA to Homeland Security and everything else. They get paid every 2 weeks. You sell bombs and gas masks and bulletproof armor to people in these wars that we're involved in or that we're fighting for terrorism's sake. It's big business for America. It puts money into people's pockets. And they're all very happy with it. And the United States, frankly, needs enemies. When the Soviet Union collapsed in 1991, there wasn't any evil empire anymore. And, you know, what are we going to do with this huge war machine and all of these intelligence services, or maybe not very intelligent services, that were set up to fight the Soviet Union? What are we going to do with them? And about that point, we began hearing about terrorism and Osama bin Laden and problems here and problems there, and we have to be ready to fight them. I mean, look at the Homeland Security. They were worried about their budget being cut, and the House of Representatives was questioning them and saying, what are we going to do about illegal immigration? And all of a sudden, the FBI just happens to find three IS people in New York City who are ready to overthrow the United States government.
Right. They turn up at the most convenient times.
Mm-hmm.
And one other question for you. The Project for a New American Century called for full-spectrum dominance of the world,
mm-hmm.
using the U.S. military. I'm wondering, are they behind this? Is this what they want? Is this imperialism really wanting total control of the world?
Pretty much. I remember reading this, and I remember seeing predictions like Cheney was saying, we want to overthrow Libya and Iraq and Syria and so forth. And then aside from Iran and, well, maybe another country somewhere else, they pretty much got what they want. And if you look at Iran with all these assassinations and mysterious explosions, you see a covert war in full operation there. So they've got this. They're breaking these countries. And, of course, you've got America with its huge war machine. 39% of all military spending in the world comes from the United States. You've got this huge Army, Navy, Air Force going, and you can look at the size of the population, the per capita income, and the armed forces of the countries we've been fighting, and it's David and Goliath, and Goliath is kicking the living hell out of David.
So where do we go from here? Where do you see the next countries they'll go after if they're successful?
I was talking about that with a knowledgeable observer just as I was finishing up my book, and we decided that Morocco maybe wouldn't be overthrown because they have close ties to the repressive monarchies to the east. But you've got Algeria, which has a lot of disaffected and rather extreme Muslims in the country. And you've got the American ambassador, Henry Encher, there. He was the guy that was sending mysterious applicants when we were in Jeddah together. And you've got Oman, for example, which has a very repressive government. You've got an alliance between the government and the military. You've got an economy that's going to pieces. And you've got the American ambassador, Greta Holst, the woman who made such problems and who was so hated when she was working in Jeddah. So now she's ambassador to Oman. So I think, you know, those are two of the countries. Algeria and Oman would be good places to knock apart. And, of course, there's Iran. I mean, they keep talking and talking and talking about, well, we need to deal with Iran so they won't make atomic bombs. Well, they're completely missing the boat on who's got the atomic bombs. It's Israel. And I've seen 100, 200, 300, and 400 bombs that they have, depending on who you're talking to. And we know that Britain and France each have about 200 atomic bombs. So the Israelis are pretty well armed, and they have a lot of poison gas, and they had a lot of deadly bacteria, but nobody wants to talk about this.
Well, fascinating book. Again, I want to recommend that the listeners get a copy of Visas for Al-Qaeda, the CIA Handouts That Rocked the World, by J. Michael Springman, An Insider's View. And, Michael, where can people get a copy of the book? Is it out yet for purchase?
It's been out. It's up on Amazon U.S., Amazon Europe, and you can get a Kindle e-book as well.
Okay, great. Well, Michael Springman, is there anything that I haven't asked you or we haven't discussed that you'd like to share with the listeners?
I think we pretty much covered the waterfront.
Okay, great. Well, I really want to thank you for writing the book, and hopefully our listeners will go out and pick up a copy and be more knowledgeable about what's really going on.
All right, well, I'm grateful for the opportunity to talk about the book and to answer your questions and provide as much information as I can.
And again, you were just listening to the second and final part of a recent interview with author Michael Springman. To hear the first part of that interview, you can go to radioforall.net, and that's the digit for radioforall.net, and search under Cheryl with a C. There's a lot of evidence that ISIS, just like Al-Qaeda, was created and supported by the U.S. and its allies in the Middle East. I'm going to share a few articles and audio clips with you concerning this. I think it's really important that American citizens and citizens of the world know about this. What we're being told by the corporate media is total fabrication. We're being duped yet again, just like we were and still are, concerning 9/11 and quite a few other events. Remember how the government and corporate media lied to us over and over again about the non-existent WMDs in Iraq to get us to support the totally illegal and fraudulent war in Iraq? Why would anyone now believe anything they say? And now, here are a few paragraphs from a Press TV article on June 23, 2015. And here goes. Former CIA contractor Stephen Kelly says that the ISIL terrorist group is a completely fabricated enemy created and funded by the United States. Quote, "This is a completely fabricated enemy," he said in a phone interview with Press TV from Anaheim, California. Quote, "The funding is completely from the United States and its allies, and for people to think that this enemy is something that needs to be attacked in Syria or Iraq is a farce, because obviously this is something that we create, we control, and only now it has become inconvenient for us to attack this group as a legitimate enemy," Kelly added. Quote, "If you want to get to the root of the problem and remove this organization, the first thing they need to do is to remove the funding and take care of entities responsible for the creation of this group," Kelly said. He also said, quote, "I believe that this ISIS group would probably go away, would be easily defeated by the armies of Syrian President Assad," he said. And now here are a few paragraphs from an article on the website globalresearch.ca, by Brandon Turbeville, posted on June 30th, 2015, and the title is U.S. Admits Paying Al-Qaeda and ISIS Terrorists for Services Rendered in Syria. So here goes. Now, the United States government has admitted that it funds terrorists on the ground in Syria yet again, this time placing an individual dollar amount on the assistance provided. According to the Pentagon, Syrian, quote, rebels
being trained and vetted by the United States are receiving compensation to the tune of anywhere between $250 to $400 per month to act as America's proxy forces in the Middle East. Reuters reports that the payment levels were confirmed by the Pentagon and also that the Secretary of Defense, Ashton Carter, and Navy Commander Alyssa Smith both separately admitted the fact that these new terrorists are receiving a stipend. So your tax dollars at work. And former CIA contractor Stephen Kelly also had this to say in a September 19, 2014 article by Press TV. Quote, "The CIA is being faced with their current task of continuing to arm and train the rebels, which they've admitted to doing, the so-called Free Syrian Army, and at the same time being asked to combat the group ISIL, which is getting harder and harder for them to mask, that it's essentially the same group. The CIA, of course, are not stupid people. When they are asked to do this task, they do it very well. They've said they have spent this time training these rebels in Jordan, and they're doing a very good job. And now they're being asked to combat these very same rebels, and yet they are still being asked to continue with the training in Jordan. It's almost like they know that if they were to try to attack ISIL, the best things to do is to probably start with their bases in Jordan." One thing that should be noted is that even within the CIA, and this is something that most people don't take into consideration, there are multiple factions. There's a faction that is more New World Order, and there is one that is more pro-Constitution. So there's always going to be that distraction. But I think it's a matter of logic. You've got people that are having a very hard time spinning the same kind of nonsense that the White House seems to be convincing them to produce every day. And the CIA is not quite the same at lying quite so well as the White House is. The CIA are very openly still supporting the very same group that they are trying to combat. And this is why they're showing such exasperation for being asked to combat the group and at the very same time feeding it with the other hand, he concluded. So to sum up, Al-Qaeda was created and supported by the CIA. And now we have ISIS also being created and supported by the CIA and its allies. And you're paying for it all with your tax dollars and being told that they're terrorist groups that are enemies of the United States. And, of course, Al-Qaeda was blamed for 9/11. And now we're working with them in Syria. And now here's another article that was posted on Global Research on June 17, 2015 by Kurt Nemo, called "The Islamic State Was Instigated or Created by a Certain Intelligence Agency." This was said by the vice president of Iran. And here goes. In October, the former Iranian Minister of Intelligence, Haidar Moslehi, was direct. He said ISIS was created by, quote, "the triangle of Mossad, MI6, and the CIA. Moslehi said that dollars from Saudi Arabia and some of the Gulf countries are responsible for funding the terrorist army. The coalition certainly does not want to destroy IS because it needs to use it for most of its satanic goals. His remarks followed those of Iranian Supreme Leader Ayatollah Al-Khamenei, who said ISIS and Al-Qaeda are the work of the wicked government of Britain. In June, it was revealed that the U.S. military had trained ISIS members in a secret base in Jordan. Following the attack of September 11, 2001, it was reported a number of the purported hijackers were trained in strategy and tactics at the Naval Air Station in Pensacola, Florida, and the Air War College in Montgomery, Alabama, according to Newsweek. The U.S. had admitted its allies fund IS. In September, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin E. Dempsey, told the Senate Armed Services Committee, quote, "I know major Arab allies who fund them." In January, said to be a Pakistani commander of IS, Yusuf al-Salifi, confessed to law enforcement agencies in Pakistan to getting funds via the United States. And now here's a clip from Al Jazeera News.
A released video has shed more light on foreign military aid to ISIL Takfiri militants in Iraq. According to Iraqi media, the video released by the Iraq-based Hezbollah Brigades shows a U.S. Chinook helicopter dropping two boxes full of weapons for ISIL militants by flying at a low altitude in the Al-Abbar area south of Fallujah. The video has been recorded on February the 9th. Earlier, there were reports that some U.S. helicopters landed in Fallujah, which is the main base of Takfiri militants in Iraq. The reports fueled speculation that the U.S. is providing militants with weapons. That prompted Iraqi lawmakers to urge the government to open an investigation into that matter.
And the clip you're about to hear is of Christopher Green of AMTV, or Alternative Media Television, in February of 2015.
ISIS, ISIL, the new boogeyman that Obama is promoting. You know, is it possible that ISIS is a creation of the CIA or the Pentagon or the National Spying Agency or perhaps Mossad overseas in Israel? In fact, that's the exact accusation being made by the president of Sudan, the head of Hezbollah. They say it's just a creation of the State Department, just like all CIA was, just like Al-Qaeda. And I thought Osama bin Laden was dead. I thought Obama had stomped out the evildoer. I thought they kicked his dead body, his carcass, off a U.S. warship in order to give him a proper Muslim burial. They didn't take a photograph. They didn't even do a tweet pic or send it out on Vine. Of course, there's no DNA evidence, not a shred of proof. Even though it cost taxpayers the war post-George W. Bush era over $1 trillion plus, thousands of American lives, tens of thousands of people wounded on false pretenses. Remember, it was George W. Bush's WMDs, weapons of mass destruction, which turned out to be total bull, turned out to be a falsehood, turned out to be a lie. And you can't help but beg the question, what if ISIS is the same thing? It's Obama's equivalent of Bush's Al-Qaeda in weapons of mass destruction because it justifies a further war in the Middle East. In fact, isn't it curious how the first beheading of Jim Foley, the majority of the American public didn't want a war? They were over it. They were demanding a withdrawal, which was the promise of Barack Obama, only to switch their opinion. A recent CNN and CNBC poll says they now overwhelmingly support it because of the violence that's being portrayed in the mainstream media of ISIS. What started with kind of a docile beheading of Jim Foley has escalated and amplified to multiple beheadings on a Libyan beach of Coptic Christians, women being gang raped, children being slaughtered, people being thrown off of buildings. I even read a report that they're harvesting people's organs and selling it on the black market. I mean, these people really are the boogeyman. They're so creepy, and it's tough to argue with that. Now Americans support the wars. They're not just behind the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, a continuation of what we saw with George W. Bush, but they approve of the drone strikes in Syria. In fact, it justifies an entire war, not just in the Middle East, but around the world, pushing Putin into a corner. You know, what if the U.S. is just using ISIS, dropping them guns and weapons and funding them, etc., so that it fulfills their own effort, their own destabilization effort in this part of the world? Places like Syria, where they've been trying to oust Bashar al-Assad for some time now, they even engineered a false flag, a chemical Ghouta attack, which they blamed or tried to blame on Assad, only to come out later. The truth was, it was more than likely the rebels on the ground, the terrorists, the United States had been arming that were more than likely responsible for the gas attack. Isn't it interesting how all of this conveniently just falls right into the laps of U.S. politicians to push their agenda for war, just like George W. Bush? Again, they never provide us with a shred of evidence. Just because Obama says it doesn't make it true. I mean, why do we hold this guy to a different standard? Why aren't we allowed to investigate the truth or think outside the box critically? I mean, if you even question ISIS and their legitimacy, you must be also a terrorist, according to this government. You know, Obama has baseless claim after baseless claim. Whether or not it was North Korea is responsible for the Sony hack, isn't it curious how he's also using that as a push for internet censorship, another executive order, or it's bypassing a Congress through illegal immigration, or it's any of these wars and a continuation of these wars overseas. Again, ISIS? I kind of think that the president of Sudan might be onto something, that the leader of Hezbollah might be onto something, that just like all CIA, ISIS has probably been created by the U.S. State Department, U.S. intelligence agencies here in the United States of America. In fact, I watched an interesting video yesterday, courtesy of Press TV, which showed allegedly a U.S. helicopter dropping supplies to ISIL to give them weapons so they can go kill more people. Again, this is classic propaganda, folks. You demonize the enemy so they're easier to kill. And then you use it to serve your own agenda. It's just like the United States helped to promote the attack on Pearl Harbor by implementing the embargo on Japan before the outbreak of World War II because it justified the United States getting involved in a world war. We're doing the same thing now. We're just blaming ISIS. I mean, how can you argue with beheadings? How can you argue with the raping and the pillaging of women and the murder of children? How can you argue with any of this? And the answer to the question is, you can't. That's why it's a perfect tool. That's why it's psychological warfare. It's being engineered to impregnate into the people's minds of America and not just around the world that this is why we must go to war. It's not the same thing with the Charlie Hebdo attack. It just pushes that anti-Muslim agenda, this war against evil and the good guy here in the United States. We're always the good guy, you know? We always got like a little angel cap on and angel wings. We're like the choir boy, you know, of the world. We're always good. Obama's so good, but everyone else is evil. You know, Putin is the next Hitler. ISIS is the devil. You know, the rest of the world is Satan, but the U.S., we're good. Yeah, that's right. Again, you know what? President Sudan's probably right. The leader of Hezbollah's probably right. The only terrorism and the only terrorist responsible for what's happening in the Middle East is probably coming from the State Department, probably coming from the United States federal government to serve our own agenda, to push a narrative of war, a continuation of these wars in the Middle East. And it's all boiling over.
And now I'm going to end the show with a few paragraphs from an article called The Yanon Plan and the Role of the ISIS by Sultana Afraz, which was posted on globalresearch.ca on June 30th, 2015. And here goes. The present ISIS lightning war in Iraq is the creation of an illusion to initiate the fulfillment of a pre-planned agenda of the West in close alliance with Israel to redraw the map of the entire region as the new Middle East. This is the Yanon Plan at work, which aims at the balkanization of the Middle East and North Africa, known as the MENA region, into smaller and weaker entities or states in order to ensure the dominant position of Israel in the region and the control of its oil, gas, and water resources by the U.S.-Israel nexus. In the process of balkanization, the facets of ethnicity, religion, and race from within the region are engaged for destruction, causing alarm for the UN and international military intervention to protect innocent civilians, thus paving the way for the ultimate achievement of the designed goal of creating the new Middle East. The chaos, destruction, and devastation caused by the ISIS in its process of establishing the Sunni Islamic Caliphate in Iraq and Syrian territories is the realization of the intended policy of the U.S. and the West to change public perception that the war on terror was never a war waged by the West against Islam, but a war within Islam along religious, ethnic, and sectarian lines in the Islamic world. The Islamic State of Iraq and al-Sham's Sunni Caliphate project coincides with a longstanding U.S. agenda to carve up both Iraq and Syria into three separate territories, a Sunni Islamist caliphate, an Arab Shia republic, and a Republic of Kurdistan. And if you want to learn more about all of this, I'd encourage you to look up the Yanon Plan. And Yanon is spelled Y-I-N-O-N. And now just a reminder that our progressive movie night is coming up at 7 p.m., this concludes this edition of 9/11 Wake Up Call. I'm Cheryl. Thanks for listening.